Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer. Plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
About to be a great night.
Feeling good tonight.
Yeah, this is one hell of a night.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly on King of OX.
And welcome aboard, everyone. And John Hancock alongside Michael Kelly back from his brief out-of-town vacation. And it's time for our weekly visit with the great newsman here at KMOX, Sean Michael Lyle. Hooray for Hollywood.
Hooray.
Yes.
Hey, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah.
He was asking, what should we play when Sean comes in here? I said, I don't know.
Hooray for Hollywood. Hooray, because we found out last week that you went to broadcast school in West Hollywood.
Oh, no, not West Hollywood. It was right in the middle of Hollywood,
California.
Yeah.
And we also have known that you have brushed with greatness with none other than Yakov Smirnoff.
Yeah, and Whoa. He really does laugh like that. like a seal.
Yeah. So certainly a man with your incredible background, you've had some brushes with greatness over the years.
You make me sound like a Hollywood hairdresser.
Well, no, you're not a hairdresser.
Well, brushes.
I can tell that.
that's for sure.
but you certainly have had some brushes with greatness out there.
Well, yeah, famous people,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So,
well, dude,
so
spill the tea.
Spill the beans. The tea. You don't spill the tea, Michael. You spill the beans.
Yeah, no, the kids these days, they use tea as the word means like the gossip.
The tea?
Am I right,
Yeah, spill
Matt?
The tea.
Yeah,
yeah,
spill the tea.
All right. Find the tea. I never heard of it.
You got a mop, I'll wipe it up afterwards.
I know.
I did. So many of them over the years. I haven't really known any famous people. I was acquainted with some.
Ooh, who?
Well, let's see. When I lived in Hollywood,
yeah.
I'd go to parties in the Hollywood Hills.
Yes.
And I'd hang out with people there. And the people who knew me by name,
yeah.
And I would see several times. I used to sit there and eat peanuts.
Peanuts.
She put them on her
she
lap.
She put the peanuts on her lap.
And we would sit there and crack it with Carrie Fisher.
Carrie Fisher,
wow.
With the peanuts
and
on her.
Would,
unbelievable.
She was a bit nutty.
Hold on. No,
yeah,
hold on.
Was.
So we got Carrie Fisher's
Carrie
peanuts.
Fisher.
All right.
And
she knew you by name.
Yes. Yeah. And also, did you ever watch the show Three's Company?
Yes.
Yeah, come and knock on my door.
Joyce DeWitt?
Joyce DeWitt.
Joyce DeWitt?
Yeah. She was from New York or somewhere. Yeah, yeah. She was a dancer.
Oh, the brunette. Yes.
Yeah. She was a dancer. And right. she went out to Hollywood to try and get work. And I said, you know, you're not going to find any work as a dancer in Hollywood. And she said, yeah, I know. I mean, she got this job at this show, but she was a dancer.
It went well for her.
Some would say.
And you know what's amazing about that? They took the earnings from that Three's Company, mm-hmm. Joyce DeWitt did, and her family ended up buying the St. Louis Cardinals. It's just unbelievable.
It's absolutely.
What are you talking about? Here's the deal.
You got Bill DeWitt out there.
Can you do you see what I have to deal with?
Like, I know.
He brings everybody along, and we think we're going to get some pearl of wisdom, and then we get a dad joke.
Yeah, but the interesting thing was that show was the most profitable show in television history.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it
Grease
had great.
Company?
Yes.
Yeah, it had great ratings. It had
I had to pay rent one apartment.
You're right.
Well, that's part of it. Actually, they're very low paid.
The
production cost was extremely low.
Right, of course.
But they made a whole bunch of money.
All right,
and then when the woman with the pores, because I remember her, the blonde, Suzanne Summers. Yeah. So I'm at this party and I'm sitting there with Joyce DeWitt and we're just talking
and the peanuts.
Well, no, that was Carrie Fisher.
Oh,
but we were sitting there talking and then all of a sudden it was like this you know royalty came to the party and everyone's like oh. Ooh. And I turned around and it was like, who is it? Who is it? And I see this brush of blonde hair and I see this face full of pores.
Pores, all kinds of pores.
That was Suzanne Summers.
There she was with her pores.
And I was sitting there with Joyce DeWitt. It was absolutely beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
And lovely and really nice.
Well, you know, so that's an interesting. So you got Joyce DeWitt over here.
Mm-hmm.
You got Suzanne Summers over there.
Right.
Not unlike Marianne and Ginger.
I never met either of those.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying that everybody thought Ginger was the big bombshell.
Right.
No.
The girl next door,
Marianne.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Don Wells would tell you all along that she always got the most mail.
Yes.
Fan mail.
I'm sure of it. And and same with Joyce DeWitt and compared to Suzanne Summers, who's now 87 years old, I think.
Yeah.
And then John Ritter she's alive.
Suzanne Summers?
Yeah. John Ritter has passed away, though.
Yeah.
Yes.
He passed
Tina
away Louise
on set.
Is the last. Talking
of the last. Of the Gilligans.
She's the last of the Gilligans.
She's still
people.
Here.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it was kind of funny because I never met the guy. But I was driving along in Hollywood, because you're mentioning Gilligan's Island.
Yeah.
And I'm driving by this restaurant, and there's this guy who's out there painting the curb of the parking lot in the restaurant. And it was the skipper. It was...
No, Alan Hale.
Alan Hale Jr. and he was out there. He was wearing the red polo shirt. I don't think he had the cap. And he was painting just along, and he was looking up, and he was smiling as
the
people smiled.
The skipper.
The skipper.
Painting the curb.
He owned that restaurant.
Wow.
And so he would just do that himself.
See, this is why mm-hmm. we ask Shawn Michael Lyle into the studio and every week.
But
because
you two, as
other hosts don't get this kind of stuff.
No.
You
I mean,
two guys, as politicals, you would appreciate the fact that I used to chomp cigars with the governor.
Really?
With Arnold.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I tell you,
see, that's another guy that knew me by name because, you know, I was a news director and a newsman in California.
Yeah. And so you were,
Yeah. And he would come, it was kind of funny because I was a news director in Bakersfield, California, and he loved coming to Bakersfield. And there was one time that, I was talking to him in Sacramento and said, hey, you know, you haven't been down to Bakersfield for a little bit. And he goes, oh, I go there all the time. I said, it's been over a month. He goes, it's been over a month. So the next day or a couple days later, he was supposed to be in Fresno, and they skipped Fresno and came down to Bakersfield. And I said, see, just because I said so, the governor comes to Bakersfield. Little did I realize that's where his love child was.
A little bit of
how
a scoop
that?
There.
It's kind of like
having Rona Barrett, and I mean, you're amazing, amazing.
Yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger. So let's just to recap for the people at home.
Yeah.
Was Arnold.
We could do this every day.
Arnold's not that tall, is he?
He's 5 foot, you know, something.
No, He didn't look as big as I thought he would be.
Right.
No, he's a good size.
He's a good
guy.
Big guy.
Yeah. No. But when you're not bulking, it shrinks.
We got Carrie Fisher in the were they Planters peanuts that she was?
I don't know. Okay. They were in the shell.
The shell peanuts.
Yeah, we were shelling peanuts.
Oh, very nice. Yeah. And then Joyce DeWitt's out there. You got Yakov Smirnoff over in the corner here laughing away.
Yeah.
And you got the governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. So if you want more, there's plenty. But anyway,
well,
that's just for starters.
You know, next Monday's another day.
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
This is phenomenal. Now, you thought about going into show business yourself at one point.
Well, yeah, I did. I was in theater in high school, but I did.
What's your best role?
My best role? There was a Reginald Rose play called Dino, which was just terrible. And I was the lead. And so
in Dino,
which is just awful. I didn't like it. Except I got to kiss the prettiest darn girl in that. But
Mrs. Shawn Michael Lyle might be listening.
Yeah, she knows. But when I was in high school, we had the teacher was an old disc jockey.
Nice.
I went to the same broadcasting school that he went to. I went there because he went there. And we used to put on shows. We didn't do plays.
Right.
We did skits.
Yeah, on the radio.
In the theater.
Oh, in the theater.
We would do skits. So you'd come to one of the speech arts club shows, and you would have a night of comedic skits, musical skits, dramatic skits. And it was a great show.
All original.
Yeah. Well, no, they weren't original.
Oh, okay.
Some of them were adapted. A few were original. Uh-huh. Some of us wrote some.
Yeah.
But yeah, we would put on these shows, and people loved the shows. We learned how to put on a show.
Wow.
And we could see what people liked. My favorite, though, was it was called Spider Boy, where I had this bag where I was pretending to eat spiders or something, this little girl, and she was there, and she was all icky because it was our Halloween show.
Yeah.
And so what I did was, you know those little, you get them at the sewing place, the little dingle balls?
Yeah,
you know, I cut off those, got the black ones, cut off all the little tiny
dingle balls.
And that's what I had. Yeah, these little fluffy little balls.
Dingle balls.
Yeah. And I had a bag full of them.
Dingle balls.
I was pretending, a paper bag, and I was pretending to eat them. So anyway.
He was eating the dingle balls out of a fluffy bag.
So anyway, then I go to chase her, right? Because I'm the spider boy or whatever.
Yeah, the spider boy.
And the kid with the spiders. And I go chasing her, and she goes running into the audience, and I reach out my bag as she's going. I'm throwing handfuls of these.
The spider balls into the audience.
Into the audience. And they just leaped like you wouldn't believe.
Man. Oh,
was
my.
Awesome.
Oh,
and people just
pandemonium.
Screamed. Yeah, it was.
The humanity.
It was
humanity.
It was amazing.
Wow.
Because they're were black and fuzzy, and they felt like, that was the best.
Oh, it's kind of like a stink bug. Do you have stink bugs at the house? You guys, nobody has stink bugs?
Well, I wouldn't throw stink bugs.
Yeah, no.
In fact, I wouldn't throw real bugs.
Yeah,
at all,
no, of course not.
When are our submissions due for the Edward R. Murrow Award?
I think this is it.
I think we've just
crested the top of the peak here.
Yeah. You're going on the submission with us, won't you?
I don't know.
Folks, let me just say that in the history of radio, you may never have heard a segment like we have just been fortunate
to be a small part for 25 years.
And the best part of it all is that next week, at this same time.
Next week, if you remind me, if you want to write it down, I've got to tell you my favorite moment in the history of my radio career.
Oh, favorite radio
moment. Yeah.
All right, I got it. That's Shawn Michael Lyle. Hey, when we come back, it's time for What's Trending, Michael, and who joins us for that?
Braxton Payne next, right here on the Mighty Mock.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world. Points of interest along the trail. And offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Good stuff.
Every week at this time, we go to the Celebrity Guest Line where we're joined by Braxton with a B and Payne is his last name with a P. Braxton Payne is on The Voice of St. Louis, and it's time for that.
My former co-host last week.
Yeah. How was it last week, boys?
He was great.
How are you, Brax?
I'm well. How are you all?
Fine. Have you recovered from having to spend 2.5 hours with Hancock?
Just 2 hours.
Well, we did 4.5 hours total last week. Because we
excellent
had, you know,
point. Friday.
We had Friday and Tuesday night, not right. Monday night last week.
That's right.
Brax, the average dad joke per hour is usually about 2.5 dad jokes per hour. Were they rolling last week, too?
Yeah, they weren't too bad. I mean, I'm so used to them that I don't even know if they're considered dad jokes anymore. I think they're just considered John Hancock jokes at this point.
Yeah.
All right, Braxton, what's trending?
So we got three options, and we can do all three. We can do one. We got the French elections, which ooh, I think there's some interesting statistics from that to come out. Okay. The Morning Consult came out with a poll about the best coach ever, either college or professional leagues
digging
or
that.
Easter traditions.
Ooh.
Ooh, those are three really good choices.
Yeah.
Let's start with the coaches.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, let's start with the coaches.
Yeah, so Morning Consult is a firm out of D.C., and they do political polling, public opinions. They do polling on television shows, the Oscars, you name it. And they send out a weekly email to their subscribers every day at 5 o'clock. So daily email, excuse me, not weekly. And they came out with one that I thought was interesting, with the best coach ever. So I was curious to know what you guys think the best coach ever is, and then I can kind of run down a list. So
right.
This was open-ended.
Well, all right.
So they didn't provide a list, so people had to
go
type
ahead,
in what they thought the best coach
two
ever was.
One's going to be a basketball okay coach, and one's going to be a football coach.
All right.
The basketball coach is going to be Dean Smith.
All right.
North Carolina, yeah, come yeah on. I mean, as famous as they get. Yeah, well, and the football coach, Tom Landry, of the America's team, Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, no.
I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So the basketball coach, of course, is the legendary John Wooden from UCLA.
Okay.
He is, and the football coach, of course, is the legendary, the trophy is named after him, Vince Lombardi.
Mm.
And if you want to go to baseball coaches, I mean, if we're going to stray into that territory, I would say the greatest baseball coach of all time would be the New York Giants John McGraw. And if you were going to go into the world of hockey, I would say the greatest hockey coach of all time would be none other than the former Blues coach, Scotty Bowman. So those are my those are my four choices.
Brax, what about you?
Yeah, well, I think probably my top coach of all time would probably be either, I'm going to go with Vince Lombardi or Coach K. I think Coach K was
Coach
a great,
K. Yeah.
Who won the poll?
College coach. So, there's the top 12. Of those, the first four you mentioned, three of those are in the top 10. But rounding out at number one is actually Bill Belichick.
Okay.
And he was tied with the one and only, John, you were right, Vince Lombardi. And so they were both at 10%. So remember, they had to fill it in. People that said them. And then coming in at number three is Phil Jackson.
Yeah. Come on.
He had the Bulls and the Lakers,
He does yoga.
And then number four is John Madden.
Really?
No.
I don't agree with that one either. Yeah exactly. Number
famous,
five.
Though.
Is John Wooden.
Yep, thank you.
Number six, Tom Landry. Seven, Nick Saban. Eight, Coach K. Nine, Mike Ditka. 10, Tony Dungy.
Mike Ditka?
Yeah, Ditka, that's a popularity contest.
Yeah. Now, Tony Dungy was a great coach. I will give you that. Ditka does not belong on this list.
Ditka.
No.
No Ditka.
No.
No, and I think the number 11 was Greg Popovich, which I do agree with.
I like
Greg Popovich.
I like Popovich. You just don't like his politics.
He's a liberal.
Exactly.
Where is Scotty Bowman on this
list? He's not.
I thought it was interesting.
He's on the hothead list.
There's not a single NHL coach on the top 12.
It's rigged.
Of this.
It's rigged.
No, it's not rigged.
Also, you kind of think about, you look at the NHL ratings, though. I mean, they're one of the lower professional sports, ratings wise television. So it doesn't surprise me.
How about is Barry Hearn on the list?
No, Barry Hearn.
He's one of the great snooker coaches of all time.
Okay, it's time to move to a new topic of what's trending. I'm kind of interested in that French election stuff.
Me too. Interesting.
Yep. Talk about that, Brex.
Yeah, so the French elections happened over the weekend.
Okay, you got to pronounce the names right, though.
I'm gonna do my best. Macron. So in France, they don't have like a two-party system like we do here. So they have several different parties, and there's about 12 legitimate candidates for president. And if they don't get 50%, they end up in a runoff. So the top person is the current president is Macron, which, fun fact about him, I stayed in the same hotel when I was on my honeymoon with him in Greece.
Whoa.
Macron. Is there a lot of security around him?
Emmanuel Macron was in Greece with Braxton Payne.
Yeah, so they had to do.
Was there army guys there and stuff?
There was. Yeah, so it was for a Mediterranean climate summit, and we were in the same hotel as them, and we had to go through security. And yes, there was definitely French police, as well as the Greek authorities all surrounding him the whole time.
You know what's fascinating about the French police? When they in pursuit, the sirens go off. Our siren, woo, 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 woo. In France, the sirens are...
Dad joke. Dad joke. Dad joke.
Well, there's another one.
I'll tell you,
myself. So you kill yourself?
I do.
Yeah,
So coming out in front was the current president at about around 28%. And then coming in second place, which will make the runoff, is... Marie Le Pen, she's kind of the best way to describe her. She's kind of the Donald Trump right populist of France. So she won in a lot of the rural areas, which you kind of see here in modern elections. But one of the things that I thought was the most interesting of the whole elections, if you combine what you would consider your center in France, so your capitalist, your non-populist parties.
Yeah.
In 2007, they made up about 77% of the first vote, compared to the populace, about 22%. But this last election here in 2022, the populace made up 58% of the vote, and 42% were what we would consider the center populist or the center capitalist in our modern politics.
Yeah, that is fascinating because, we tend to think this populist movement is unique to the U.S. It's not. And you're seeing it all over the world. You're seeing it in Australia, certainly seeing it in France. And that really is a fascinating number. So Le Pen is in second place. They go to a runoff. What are the experts predicting? Do they think Macron pulls it out?
Yeah, they do. So the night after the election, even the center right, which would be more considered with Le Pen and the center left, all endorsed at their election night parties Macron, mm-hmm. and with, you know, very much vigor. I mean, they were saying that this is most consequential. If we don't elect him, our country is going to go in a direction that we do not want it to be seen. And that was from, you know, a center right candidate, which is, you know, not so much aligned with the current president.
Well, she said the 4 years ago when she ran that her views are aligned with Vladimir Putin's. I mean, she, you know, she said that herself. And so she's got to own that in this environment. It's a fascinating thing to keep an eye on.
And I think one of the things that we watch, and I know us three on this phone and we talk about a lot, is, you know, watching foreign elections and how they're going to equate to our elections. I mean, we saw Brexit happen right before, you know, Donald Trump was elected president, and that was very much anti-establishment. You know, let's just tear the whole system up. And they did that in the UK. Same thing you're seeing in a lot of these elections. And I think it's interesting to me is the way the French elections work is they don't have that two-party system. So they're having 12 legitimate choices for president. Then they go to the runoff and you're seeing, you know, consolidation around one candidate. And I don't know, like, you know, we're seeing that in other places, you know, with ranked choice voting in the United States, but not something that we normally see. But also, I just think that the way that we're viewing populism versus capitalism in our traditional sense of the term is definitely changing. And I think we should be very wary of that in the midterms, because you're going to see a lot of these extreme candidates, or whether it's on the right or the left, probably get elected in this next midterm.
Good stuff, Braxton. That's really good stuff. You know, Marie Le Pen would have done better.
Here we go. This is going to be another jump.
Had she hired my political consulting firm to come up with her campaign slogan.
Yeah.
Le Pen is mightier than Le Sword. That's Braxton Payne.
I need to go back on vacation.
When we come back, 77 years ago today, this day in American history, a significant day. We're going to tell that story. I'm going to tell the story about what happened then. Michael Kelly is going to tell the story about what happened next. That's coming up next on KMOX.
Oh, my.
So if you don't follow the KMOX Twitter handle, you should. They've snipped a little bit of it there.
PJ.
PJ snipped a little bit.
What's your Matt Pajeski, right?
Pajeski at Pajeski came up.
Okay, spell it. Of course, because Pajeski most people on this planet wouldn't know how to spell that.
You got the P going on there with the
P-O-D.
J-E-S-K-I.
The number 7.
He's the
Pajeski 7.
No, I'm kidding. Pajeski KMOX.
Pajeski KMOX.
And you can listen to John Hancock do his best William Shatner version of O Canada.
All I can say is
little background vocals too.
It was that was awful, but it was moving, and it's a beautiful anthem. I'll tell you, the Ukrainian national anthem is gorgeous too.
Really?
I've been listening to that of late. Now, the best national anthem, I think we can all agree, Finlandia.
How's that go?
Oh, it's glorious. It's just amazing. But I digress. It was...
Wait a minute. What? Do you really know about Finland's...
Yeah.
Finlandia? Is that what you
Finlandia.
Call them?
It's actually a hymn. That's not it. I mean, that's the national anthem, but never mind.
So you said you saw 60 Minutes this week, and President Zelensky was on there?
Outstanding.
Really? Yeah.
You know, he said that I would like to live a long time, but I am prepared to die for my country.
Wow.
You talk about leadership at a time of utter distress. When you look at the slaughter, the wholesale slaughter of innocents and civilians going on there, the bombing of hospitals and residences, and the horrors that Russia is bringing to that country for no reason whatsoever.
Right.
And, you know, had Volodymyr Zelensky fled that country, as he was offered to do by the West and by Russia, had he left, that army would have folded overnight. I mean, look what happened in Afghanistan. when the president fled there, and the Taliban just, it was like dominoes. They rolled over everything. Well, that didn't happen in Ukraine because they had a strong, committed leader.
The 60 Minutes interview, was the reporter in the room with him, or was it being done via satellite?
Both. So, but the reporter was there. They walked through the very heavily guarded compound where he is. You know, you saw him all over the weekend walking through the streets of Kyiv with Boris Johnson.
Right.
Which was a remarkable video showcasing the fact that the Russian troops, what a finger in the eye of Vladimir Putin that was.
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah.
We're with this guy.
Yeah.
Did you hear him? Did he speak in English when he did the interview?
Some. Yeah, it was both. He had English and he had an interpreter as well. I mean, he speaks pretty good English. But I think as he gets passionate and has more detailed things, he slips into his native tongue, which is understandable.
Yeah.
And but no, it was impressive. I mean, the man himself is impressive. And when you think about coming to power, and remember, he came to power to stamp out corruption. That was a corrupt government in Ukraine. It truly was. I mean, there was a lot of...
He was getting shook down by our government.
Well, he did, yes.
By Donald Trump.
He did. And that, you know, his predecessor and the prosecutors before him, I mean, it was a very corrupt government in that country, and he ran as a 41-year-old at the time.
Wow. Comedian.
He was a comedian. He played the president in a comedy in Ukraine. And, it was remarkable.
So here we sit on the verge of World War III. The president who led us through World War II has a little tie to history today.
Today, 77 years ago, April 11th, 1945, was the last photograph of President Franklin Delano Roosevelt. It was taken at Warm Springs, Georgia, where he would go and soak in the water to deal with his polio that he suffered. And you'll remember Roosevelt had been elected and reelected for the fourth time in 1944. He took the oath of office in March of 1944. It was the first time he delivered his inaugural address in his wheelchair.
Right.
And his health was flagging. He had been in Europe at Yalta negotiating what would be the end of and the division of the lands and so forth in World War II. He was about to go on a trip for the formation of the United Nations when he finished his respite in Georgia. And he landed there looking very gaunt. He had lost a lot of weight, very dark circles under his eyes. He did not look well. We now know medically that he was suffering from hypertension, which they really didn't have a mechanism to treat in 1945. So very high blood. His blood pressure, I read in one account, was 250 over 168.
Good Lord.
And they, you know, all they had to treat it with was phenobarbital, depressant at the time. And so he was not in good health. His mistress had been with him there. This was a woman that he had had an affair with back in 1919 when he was the Secretary of the Navy. She had been Eleanor Roosevelt's secretary. And Franklin Roosevelt had an affair. It was discovered by his wife. She said, if you don't end this, I'm going to end your political career.
Wow.
Franklin Roosevelt's mother threatened to disown him from his inheritance. If he didn't end it, he ended it. But after he ascended to the presidency, he and this woman hooked up again. And Roosevelt's own sister was the one who facilitated the liaison. And so the sister was there. The mistress was there. He had a couple of aides there in Warm Springs, Georgia, and a photographer who was with him. And she was in the process of, she was going to do the official presidential portrait. So she was taking some still photographs of the president on April the 11th. And he was dressed nattily in a suit. He was a very sharp-dressed man. And he was cold. And so he had a shawl draped over his shoulders. That's the last photograph of Franklin Roosevelt that was ever taken. He went to bed that evening and got up the next morning, April the 12th, which would be tomorrow. Was not feeling well, and he was smoking one of his cigarettes. He was a chain smoker, was Franklin Roosevelt. And he was smoking a cigarette, and his head lobbed forward. And his last words, he said, I have a horrific headache. And that's the last words he spoke. And that was at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on April the 12th. He died, was pronounced dead at 3:35
that stroke. Day.
And they think he probably suffered a number of mini strokes, and it was a cerebral hemorrhage, they believe, that caused it. No autopsy. Eleanor would not allow an autopsy of the president. And so at the age of, which this blew me away, at the age of 63.
No way. He was president for almost 20 years.
14 years. And at the age of 63, Franklin Roosevelt passed away just before the end of World War II, which was concluded under a different president who had an equally fascinating rise to power.
Yeah, so Harry Truman, as you'll all remember, was the senator from Missouri. And as Roosevelt was entering his fourth and final term, he knew he was dying. And the president, the vice president he had at the time,
Henry Wallace,
he did not want him to be president.
And that was a dispute between he and Eleanor, because Eleanor loved Henry Wallace. Henry Wallace was a progressive of his day.
Right. So there was a man from St. Louis named Robert Hannigan. And Robert Hannigan was one of the ward bosses here in St. Louis. And when Harry Truman was running for the United States Senate from Kansas City, he had the Pendergast machine behind him. They came over and tied up with the Hannigan group, and the Hannigans controlled a lot of the Irish and the Catholics here in St. Louis and delivered the Senate seat for Harry Truman, and as a result, wound up becoming Harry Truman's right-hand man. He ascends to the point, this Robert Hannigan, all the way to the point where he is the head of the Democratic National Committee and is given the role of Postmaster General. The biggest job in the country by President Roosevelt. So President Roosevelt decides that he's not going with his current vice president, goes and meets with Robert Hannigan and tells Hannigan, here's four names that I could live with. And I'm sorry, I don't remember the four names right now. But one of them was Harry Truman. He was not listed first when the president said, here's who I would accept. Hannigan left the room, went out to the president's secretary and listed Harry Truman first, because Harry Truman was his guy. Harry Truman gets elected right there at the convention as they broker it, and he winds up then becoming president of the United States because of a political boss named Robert Hannigan. And this guy's really worth investigating, folks, because later, after running the post office, he leaves Washington, D.C. He buys the St. Louis Cardinals.
Wow.
He owned the St. Louis Cardinals. He also died at a very young age.
Yeah.
But he was probably the biggest political boss in the country at that time to be able to pull that off, and is single-handedly the reason Harry Truman's president.
From right here in St. Louis.
Robert Hannigan. And there used to be a restaurant down on the landing called Hannigan's.
Oh, yeah. I played the piano there.
Yeah. And the family, I think you and I have interviewed some of the descendants of Robert Hannigan that are still here in the St. Louis area, but really a compelling story about a man that was quite a mover and shaker from St. Louis and is the reason that Harry Truman wound up becoming president.
And that, boys and girls, is our history lesson for April 11th, 2022. Michael Kelly and John Hancock, we're going to wrap it up after this on KMOX.
Well, everything's right with the world. Hancock and Kelly are here on Monday night. We'll be here Friday morning from 8:30 to 11, sitting in for Charlie and Amy as we do every Friday.
Charlie's winding down.
Yeah, it's getting close, isn't it?
May the 12th is his last day.
And I return back to the television studio.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Thanks. Oh, my.
So, if you don't follow the KMOX Twitter handle, you should. They've snipped a little bit of it there.
PJ
snipped
He's
a little bit.
He's at, what's your, Matt Pajeski, right?
Pajeski at, or yeah, at Pajeski KMOX.
Okay, spell and of course, it, because Pajeski most is, people on this planet wouldn't know how to spell that.
You got the P going on there with the...
P-O-D-J-E-S-K-I, the number 7.
He's no, the...
Pajeski 7.
No, I'm kidding. Pajeski KMOX.
Pajeski KMOX.
And you can listen to John Hancock do his... Best William Shatner version of it was O Canada.
All I can say is
little background vocals too.
It was that was awful, but it was moving, and it's a beautiful anthem. I'll tell you, the Ukrainian national anthem is gorgeous too.
Really?
I've been listening to that of late. Now, the best national anthem, I think we can all agree, Finlandia.
How's that go?
Oh, it's glorious. It's just amazing. But. I digress. It was...
Wait a minute. What? Do you really know about Finland's...
Yeah.
Finlandia?
Finlandia.
Is that what you
Finlandia.
Call
them? It's actually a hymn. Yeah, no, that's not it. I mean, that's the national anthem, but never mind.
So you said you saw 60 Minutes this week and President Zelensky was on there?
Outstanding.
Really?
Yeah. You know, he said that I would like to live a long time, but I am prepared to die for my country.
Wow.
You talk about leadership at a time of utter distress. When you look at the slaughter, the wholesale slaughter of innocents and civilians going on there, the bombing of hospitals and residences, and the horrors that Russia is bringing to that country for no reason whatsoever.
Right.
And, you know, had Volodymyr Zelensky fled that country, as he was offered to do by the West and by Russia, had he left, that army would have folded overnight. I mean, look what happened in Afghanistan when the president fled there and the Taliban it was like dominoes. They rolled over everything. Well, that didn't happen in Ukraine because they had a strong, committed leader.
The 60 Minutes interview, was the reporter in the room with him, or was it being done via satellite?
Both. So, but the reporter was there. They walked through the very heavily guarded compound where he is. You know, you saw him over the weekend walking through the streets of Kyiv with Boris Johnson.
Right.
Which was a remarkable video showcasing the fact that the Russian troops, so what a finger in the eye to Vladimir Putin that was.
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah.
We're with this guy.
Yeah.
Did you hear him? Did he speak in English when he did the interview?
Some. Yeah, it was both. He had English and he had an interpreter as well. I mean, he speaks pretty good English. But I think as he gets passionate and has more detailed things, he slips into his native tongue, which is understandable.
Yeah.
It was impressive. I mean, the man himself is impressive. And when you think about coming to power, and remember, he came to power to stamp out corruption. That was a corrupt government in Ukraine. It truly was. I mean, there was
He was getting shook down by our government.
Well, he did, yes.
By Donald Trump.
He did. And that, you know, his predecessor and the prosecutors before him, I mean, it was a very corrupt government in that country. And he ran as a 41-year-old at the time.
Wow. Comedian.
He was a comedian. He played the president in a comedy in Ukraine. And, it was remarkable.
So here we sit on the verge of World War III. The president who led us through World War II has a little tie to history today.
Today, 77 years ago, April 11th, 1945, was the last photograph of President Franklin Delano Roosevelt. It was taken at Warm Springs, Georgia, where he would go and soak in the water to deal with his polio that he suffered. And you'll remember Roosevelt had been elected and reelected for the fourth time in 1944. He took the oath of office in March of 1944. It was the first time he delivered his inaugural address in his wheelchair.
Right.
And his health was flagging. He had been in Europe at Yalta negotiating what would be the end of and the division of the lands and so forth in World War II. He was about to go on a trip for the formation of the United Nations when he finished his respite in Georgia. And he landed there looking very gaunt. He had lost a lot of weight, very dark circles under his eyes. He did not look well. We now know medically that he was suffering from hypertension, which they really didn't have a mechanism to treat in 1945. So very high blood. His blood pressure, I read in one account, was 250 over 168.
Good Lord.
And they, you know, all they had to treat it with was phenobarbital, a depressant at the time. And so he was not in good health. His mistress had been with him there. This was a woman that he had had an affair with back in 1919 when he was the Secretary of the Navy. She had been Eleanor Roosevelt's secretary. And Franklin Roosevelt had an affair. It was discovered by his wife. She said, if you don't end this, I'm going to end your political career.
Wow.
Franklin Roosevelt's mother threatened to disown him from his inheritance if he didn't end it. He ended it. But after he ascended to the presidency, he and this woman hooked up again, and Roosevelt's own sister was the one who facilitated the liaison. And so the sister was there, the mistress was there. He had a couple of aides there in Warm Springs, Georgia, and a photographer who was with him. And she was in the process of, she was going to do the official presidential portrait. So she was taking some still photographs of the president on April the 11th, and he was dressed nattily in a suit. He was a very sharp-dressed man, and it was cold, and so he had a shawl draped over his shoulders. That's the last photograph of Franklin Roosevelt that was ever taken. He went to bed that evening and got up the next morning, April the 12th, which would be tomorrow. Was not feeling well, and he was smoking one of his cigarettes. He was a chain smoker, uh-huh. Was Franklin Roosevelt, and he was smoking a cigarette, and his head lobbed forward. And his last words, he said, I have a horrific headache. And that's the last words he spoke. And that was at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on April the 12th. He died, was pronounced dead at 3:35.
Probably
that
stroke.
Day. And they think he probably suffered a number of many strokes, and it was a cerebral hemorrhage, they believe, that uh-huh. caused it. No autopsy. Eleanor would not allow an autopsy of the president. And so at the age of, which this blew me away, at the age of 63.
No way. He was president for almost 20 years.
14 years. And
almost.
At the age of 63, Franklin Roosevelt passed away just before the end of World War II, which was concluded under a different president who had an equally fascinating rise to power.
Yeah, so Harry Truman, as you'll all remember, was the senator from Missouri. And as Roosevelt was entering his fourth and final term, he knew he was dying. And the vice president he had at the time,
Henry Wallace.
He did not want him to be president.
And that was a dispute between he and Eleanor, because Eleanor loved Henry right. Wallace. Henry Wallace was a progressive of his day.
Right. So there was a man from St. Louis named Robert Hannigan. And Robert Hannigan was one of the ward bosses here in St. Louis. And when Harry Truman was running for the United States Senate from Kansas City, he had the Pendergast machine behind him. They came over and tied up with the Hannigan group, and the Hannigans controlled a lot of the Irish and the Catholics here in St. Louis and delivered the Senate seat for Harry Truman, and as a result, wound up becoming Harry Truman's right-hand man. He has since to the point, this Robert Hannigan, all the way to the point where he is the head of the Democratic National Committee and is given the role of Postmaster General, the biggest job in the country by President Roosevelt. So President Roosevelt decides that he's not going with his current vice president, goes and meets with Robert Hannigan and tells Hannigan, here's four names that I could live with. And I'm sorry, I don't remember the four names right now. But one of them was Harry Truman. He was not listed first when the president said, here's who I would accept. Hannigan left the room, went out to the president's secretary and listed Harry Truman first, because Harry Truman was his guy. Harry Truman gets elected right there at the convention as they broker it, and he winds up then becoming president of the United States because of a political boss named Robert Hannigan. And this guy's really worth investigating, folks, because later, after running the post office, he leaves Washington, D.C. He buys the St. Louis Cardinals.
Wow.
He owned the St. Louis Cardinals. He also died at a very young age.
Yeah.
But he was probably the biggest political boss in the country at that time to be able to pull that off, and is single-handedly the reason Harry Truman's president.
From right here in St. Louis.
Robert Hannigan. And there used to be a restaurant down on the landing called Hannigan's.
Oh, yeah. I played the piano there.
Yeah. And the family, I think you and I have interviewed some of the descendants of Robert Hannigan that are still here in the St. Louis area. But really a compelling story about a man that was quite a mover and shaker from St. Louis and is the reason that Harry Truman wound up becoming president.
And that, boys and girls, is our history lesson. For April 11th, 2022. Michael Kelly and John Hancock, good we're going to wrap it up after this on KMOX.
Well, everything's right with the world. Hancock and Kelly are here on Monday night. We'll be here Friday morning from 8:30 to 11, sitting in for Charlie and Amy as we do every Friday.
Charlie's winding down.
Yeah, it's getting close, isn't it?
May the 12th is his last day.
And I return back to the television studios with you, John, as... although this coming weekend is Easter, isn't it?
Yeah,
I guess we may be in there on Easter Sunday together.
I don't know. We got to figure that out.
It's the Hancock and Kelly Late Night Show. And, John, baseball is going through a lot of changes right now, right?
Yes.
We just saw the National League is implemented.
The DH.
I still don't like the pitcher has to throw to three batters.
Yeah.
I don't think that's right.
It's not right.
Fortunately, they did away with the ghost runner.
Yes.
They did away with banning the shift, which I think was a good idea,
too. They may do that next year, though.
They shouldn't.
Yeah.
But one of the things that maybe I'm coming around on is this electronic strike zone. And why do I bring this up? Because I'm on Twitter right now, and Angel Hernandez, who is the favorite target of most of you who follow umpires, is getting a lot of criticism.
Yeah.
And the idea is that we don't even need an umpire behind home plate, that the computer can ball balls and strikes. I don't think it's going to make the game faster. I think it loses a little bit of the human element that has defined the statistics of baseball throughout the years. But maybe I'm evolving on this, and maybe it would be okay if they just – a computer said strike, ball, let's go on.
I mean, we have it in tennis, you know. You have it in baseball on foul balls down the line, you know, the replay and everything. And certainly football is that way with touchdowns. Did he cross the goal line? And so the last true judgment call in many respects in all of professional sports is the balls and strikes. So, but having said that, there is something, I don't know, nostalgic about watching the umpire. I was at the game Sunday.
Okay.
And new umpire, I've never seen him before. And, you know, big guy, you know,
right.
He's in charge. He's the umpire.
Right.
You know? These are people that if they weren't umpires, they would have been police officers.
Right. You
know? And so anyway, innings over. Yeah, Johnson over here.
$20 meter.
Anyway, I digress. So It's in between innings. It's an umpire.
Right, right.
And you think you got a picture of an umpire. You know, Joe West, big plunky guy.
Heavy set.
Yeah, yeah. Laz Diaz.
Worried about where he's eating next.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, this guy's he's built. You know? I mean, he looks like Tyler O'Neill standing out there.
Whoa.
So he comes out between innings. He takes his hat off. Okay? The umpire has a man bun on top of his head.
What?
Yes.
A man bun?
Unbelievable.
That's not appropriate on any man.
I couldn't believe it.
Much less an umpire.
He had a man bun on top of his head. And I'm looking
How old was this dude?
I don't know. I'd never seen him before.
Could you imagine Joe West with a man bun?
I can't imagine anybody with a man bun, let alone the home plate umpire at Busch Stadium. But there he was with a little ball on top of his head there.
That's weird.
And he was shaved. It was like... His whole head
was... He just kind of pulled it into a knot?
Yeah, and it was a bun sitting right on top of his head, and he puts a cap on top of it. Unbelievable.
Well...
That's not right. That's not American.
No, you can't do man buns.
No. And be an umpire.
No.
I mean, if you go to Hollywood and, wear your little man bun on the beach or whatever...
Yeah, we'll star in a movie.
Yeah, right.
No, I'm not calling balls
and strikes. No, an umpire with a man bun.
Are there any female umpires?
No. I mean, somewhere, I'm sure.
I'm surprised Major League Baseball hasn't done that. It's been implemented in football. I've noticed a lot of football games.
Yes.
Now, we still haven't had a head coach or a head referee that was a female, but I've noticed we had several line judges.
Yeah.
More and more women are now calling live sport.
Well, yeah, and you've
But I don't see them in baseball. Now, a couple of teams have started to put them in the dugout. In the dugout.
The Giants have a female in the dugout coach. So, yeah, it's coming. That's going to happen. But I'm, you know what? I'm much happier to have a woman in the dugout than an umpire with a man bun.
Yeah, I don't like the man bun.
It's just, it's not right. But anyway.
When I say the name umpire, if you and I were playing passcode.
Yeah.
And I just said umpire and you had to think of the most famous umpire you could, you would say, come on, we're from St. Louis. Who would you say?
Don Dinkinger.
Of course. Right?
Yeah.
Who did not
have a man bun?
No.
When he missed the call in the 1985 World Series.
Did he ever admit that he got that call wrong?
Oh, yeah. There was a great... So Bob Costas does these Studio 42 shows at MLB Network. And he had Don Dinkinger and Whitey Herzog. And they did the 1985 World Series. George Brett was in there. And they went through the whole thing, and Dinkinger said, yeah, I blew the call.
Really?
He knows. I mean, he did. He blew the call. What are you going to do?
What? That was game six, right?
That was game six.
And the Cardinals were rallying at that point.
We had the lead. Yeah. And then they called the guy safe at first base. And then the next batter hit a pop foul. And Jack Clark dropped it in foul territory. It would have been an out. And then George Orta got a base hit, the run scored. And then they won the game. And then they came back the next night. They won something like 11-0. Joaquin Andujar got kicked out of Game 7. It was just a nightmare. The Cardinals knew when they lost Game 6, the way they lost
with.
Game 6, that it wasn't going to
happen. Do you think Texas knew when they lost Game 6 in 2000?
Yeah.
Although,
they got off to a lead that night in Game 7.
Game 7. I went to Game 7, and I had almost forgot that there was a game after Game 6, because that may be the defining baseball game of my lifetime.
Greatest game I've ever seen.
Yeah,
it's greatest game I've ever seen. And just absolutely phenomenal baseball game.
You want to hear something? You want to know who sat in front of me at the baseball game that night?
Who?
The Honorable Tashara Jones.
Is that right?
Was in front of me. Man, we were buddies. We were talking, hanging out. We took pictures together.
See there? You still have the pictures?
Yeah, but she won't talk to me anymore.
Well, who could blame her? And so, now the worst call, in my opinion, in baseball history, was by an umpire who was a great umpire named Jim Joyce.
Okay.
Considered one of the best umpires in the game. I mean, great with the players, had a lot of patience, didn't throw people out of the game very often. And Sanchez, I can't remember his first name, was pitching for the Detroit Tigers. He had a perfect game.
Wow.
Two outs in the ninth inning.
Yes, this is recent.
This was in 2010.
Yeah.
And ground ball, first baseman, Sanchez covers the bag. The runner is out. It's a perfect game. Jim Joyce missed the call.
Yeah.
And Jim felt so sick about
it. He was the man of a perfect game.
He was a great umpire. And that, Sanchez or Gonzalez, whatever his name was. We don't remember what his name was because he didn't have a perfect game.
He's John Hancock. I'm Michael
what
Kelly.
What a pleasure.
DJ behind the board,
great
Matt Pajeski. We'll see you on Friday for Amy and Charlie.
Can't wait. Dustin Glover is next. Thanks.
Well, everything's right with the world. Hancock and Kelly are here on Monday night. We'll be here Friday morning from 8:30 to 11, sitting in for Charlie and Amy as we do every Friday.
Charlie's winding down.
Yeah, it's getting close, isn't it?
May the 12th is his last day.
And I return back to the television studios with you, John, as, although this coming weekend is Easter,
it's
isn't
Easter,
it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we may be in there on Easter Sunday together.
I don't know. We got to figure that out.
It's the Hancock and Kelly Late Night Show, and John, okay, baseball is going through a lot of changes right now, right?
Yes.
We just saw the National League is implemented.
The DH.
I still don't like the pitcher has to throw to three batters.
Yep.
I don't think that's right.
It's not right.
Fortunately, they did away with the ghost runner.
Yes.
They did away with banning the shift, which I think was a good idea,
they
too.
They may do that next year, though.
They shouldn't.
Yeah.
But one of the things that maybe I'm coming around on is this electronic strike zone. And why do I bring this up? Because I'm on Twitter right now, and Angel Hernandez, who is the favorite target of most of you who follow umpires, is getting a lot of criticism.
Yeah.
And the idea is that we don't even need an umpire behind home plate, that the computer can ball balls and strikes. I don't think it's going to make the game faster. I think it loses a little bit of the human element that has defined the statistics of baseball throughout the years. But maybe I'm evolving on this, and maybe it would be okay if they just a computer said strike, ball,
yeah,
let's go on.
I mean, we have it in tennis. You know, you have it in baseball on foul balls down the line, you know, the replay and everything. And certainly football is that way with touchdowns. Did he cross the goal line? And so the last true judgment call in many respects in all of professional sports is the balls and strikes. So, but having said that, there is something, I don't know, nostalgic about watching the umpire. I was at the game Sunday.
Okay.
And new umpire, I've never seen him before. And, you know, big guy, you know,
right.
He's in charge. He's the umpire.
Right.
Know? These are people that if they weren't umpires, they would have been police officers.
Right. You
know? And so anyway, the inning's over. Yeah, Johnson over here.
$20 meter.
Anyway, I digress. So it's in between innings.
Uh-huh.
It's an umpire.
Right.
And you think you got a picture of an umpire. You know, Joe West, big plunky guy.
Heavy set.
Know. Yeah, yeah. Laz Diaz.
Worried about where he's eating next.
Yeah. Well, this guy's, he's built. You know, I
Rock.
Mean, he looks like Tyler O'Neill standing out
Whoa.
There.
Whoa.
So he comes out between innings. He takes his hat off. Okay. The umpire has a man bun on top of his head.
What?
Yes.
A man bun?
Unbelievable.
That's not appropriate on any man.
I couldn't believe it.
Much less an umpire.
He had a man bun on top of his head. And I'm looking
How old was this dude?
I don't know. I'd never seen him before.
Could you imagine Joe West with a man bun?
I can't imagine anybody with a man bun. Let alone the home plate umpire at Busch Stadium. But there he was with a little ball on top of his head there.
That's weird.
And he was shaved. I mean, it was like his whole head
was... He just kind of pulled it into a knot?
Yeah. And it was a bun sitting right on top of his head, and he puts a cap on top of it. Unbelievable.
Well...
That's not right. That's not American.
No, you can't do man buns.
No. And be an umpire.
No.
I mean, if you go to Hollywood and, you know, wear your little man bun on the beach or whatever.
Yeah, well, star in a movie.
Yeah, right.
Not calling balls and
strikes. No, an umpire with a man bun.
Are there any female umpires?
No. I mean, somewhere, I'm sure.
I'm surprised Major League Baseball has done that. It's been implemented in football. I've noticed a lot of football games.
Yes.
Now, we still haven't had a head coach or a head referee that was a female, but I've noticed we had several line judges.
Yeah.
More and more women are now calling live sport.
Well, yeah, and you've
I don't see them in baseball. Now, a couple of teams have started to put them
In
the dugout.
The Giants have a female in the dugout coach. So, yeah, it's coming. That's going to happen. But I'm, you know what? I'm much happier to have a woman in the dugout than an umpire with a man bun.
Yeah, I don't like the man
bun. It's just, you know, it's not right. But anyway.
When I say the name umpire, if you and I were playing passcode.
Yeah.
And I just said umpire, and you had to think of the most famous umpire you could. You would say, come on, we're from St. Louis. Who would you say?
Don Dinkinger.
Of course. Right?
Yeah.
Who did not
have a man bun?
No.
When he missed the call in the 1985 World Series.
Did he ever admit that he got that call
wrong? Oh, yeah,
wrong?
Yeah. There was a great... So Bob Costas does these Studio 42 shows at MLB Network, and he had Don Dinkinger and Whitey Herzog, and they did the 1985 World Series. And
wow.
George Brett was in there. And they went through the whole thing, and Dinkinger said, yeah, I blew the call.
Really?
He knows. I mean, he did. He blew the call. You know, what are you going to do?
That was game six, right?
That was game six.
And the Cardinals were rallying at that point.
We had the lead. Yeah. And then they called the guy safe at first base, and then the next batter hit a pop foul, and Jack Clark dropped it in foul territory. It would have been an out. And then George Orta got a base hit, the run scored, and then they won the game. And then they came back the next night. They won something like 11-0. Joaquin Andujar got kicked out of game seven. It was just a nightmare. The Cardinals knew when they lost game six, game six, that it wasn't going to
happen. Do you think Texas knew when they lost game six in 2000?
Yeah.
Although
they got off to a lead that night in game seven.
Game seven. I went to game seven, and I had almost forgot that there was a game after game six because that may be the defining baseball game of my lifetime.
Greatest game I've ever seen. Yeah, greatest game I've ever seen. And just absolutely phenomenal baseball game.
You want to hear something? You want to know who sat in front of me at the baseball game that night?
Who?
The Honorable Tashara Jones.
Is that right?
Was in front of me, man. We were buddies. We were talking, hanging out. We took pictures together and all that.
You still have the pictures?
Yeah, but she won't talk to me anymore.
Well, who could blame her? And so, now the worst call, in my opinion, in baseball history, was by an umpire who was a great umpire named Jim Joyce.
Okay.
Considered one of the best umpires in the game. I mean, great with the players, had a lot of patience, didn't throw people out of the game very often. And Sanchez, I can't remember his first name, was pitching for the Detroit Tigers. He had a perfect game.
Wow.
Two outs in the ninth inning.
Yes, this is recent.
This was in 2010.
Yeah.
And ground ball, first baseman, Sanchez covers the bag. The runner is out. It's a perfect game. Jim Joyce missed the call.
Yeah.
He felt so sick about it.
He was a perfect game.
He was a great umpire. Sanchez or Gonzalez, whatever his name was. We don't remember what his name was because he didn't have a perfect game.
He's John Hancock. I'm Michael
Kelly.
What
a pleasure.
BJ, behind the board.
Great
Matt Majeski. We'll see you on Friday for Amy and Charlie.
Can't wait. Dustin Glover is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.